T-Mobile has invested billions to light up America's largest 5G network, from big cities to small towns, including right here in yours. And great coverage is just the beginning. Right now, families and small businesses can save up to 20% versus AT&T and Verizon when they switch. Visit your local T-Mobile store today.
Plan savings with 3 lines of T-Mobile Essentials versus comparable available plans. Plan features and taxes and fees may vary.
Pleased to be joined by Sean O'Hara of the NFL Network, former NFL offensive lineman, to talk a little bit of the Chiefs and Pat Mahomes and his experiences in the NFL. Maybe Fesco can lead into the Chiefs playing a rather young quarterback.
Yeah, I mean, you were there when Eli started in New York, Sean, and you know, we want to kind of compare that to Pat Mahomes, because, I mean, he's going to lead the Chiefs to 2 Super Bowls like Eli did. We just know that right from Jump Street. But how'd you guys know when Eli was ready to take over that ship there in New York?
Yeah, well, it's a great question.
Thank you.
Everybody was kind of waiting for that aha moment, you know, with Eli. And, you know, I think I remember Eli coming in as a rookie, and, you know, can any quarterback come out of college more prepared than Eli? I mean, when you think about having an older brother in Peyton who's been there, done that, a father that played, you know, 18 years in the NFL. So, you know, from that standpoint in the background, Eli ready to rock and roll. But yet he still came in and he struggled. You see him struggling with the speed and with just, you know, kind of, man, there's so much that goes on. And I always say, for young quarterbacks, it's not about throwing the football. That's kind of, you know, half the battle. There is so much going on mentally before you even snap the football, and that's really what you kind of got to get used to. And I think that's really where it worked out well for Eli, that he didn't have to come in and start right away in week one. So Kurt Warner in 04, Kurt started, and I think we were 5-4 before we made the switch to Eli. But right away, Eli made some throws and made some reads early on where you said, okay, you know what, this guy can read a defense, he can make the throw, and he understands the calculated risks that you have to take as a quarterback. And he was never scared to try throws. And I think that's one of the big things about young guys. You can't ever be scared to pull the trigger and try to fit a throw into a window early on. You can't be worried about it. Hey, what are people going to think if I throw an interception in practice? No, that's the time to do it, time to learn, time to get on, you know, on timing and on the same page with your receivers. So those were all big things that we saw early on. And look, Eli's rookie year, when he came in for Kurt Warner, we lost 6 straight games. He didn't get his first win until week 17. And then the next year, in year two, we went 11-5 and won the division. And I think some of those bumps in the road, some of the lumps that he took his rookie year, helped him in year two, and kind of helped him be ready to handle those situations as he moved forward. So I'm looking forward to seeing Mahomes. You know, and look, he's gonna have some bad throws, and he's gonna make some bad plays, but those are all learning opportunities for him, and it sounds like he's doing a great job with that.
Should we be as excited about Pat Mahomes as Peter Schrager is on NFL Network about Pat Mahomes?
I don't know if you guys need to go that far into the bromance territory, but he's definitely got a major crush. Schrager is a piece of work. You know, he's definitely gone all in on that. You know, it's like watching, you know, if anybody watches that show, The Bachelor. I mean, it's just, you know, he's in the confessional room like all day long.
Yeah.
You know, and I get it. And I think, listen, to me, when I watch Mahomes, and, you know, I just was kind of watching the Atlanta film just the other day. And look, I know he's got a big arm. And I think that's kind of what everybody talks about. Man, did you see the big throw? And it's like, you know what, like in golf, that's like somebody who hits 300-yard bombs off the tee. But as everybody knows, you know, that's not how you score. That, you know, can you putt? Can you handle the short game? You know, it's great if you're hitting a 300-yard drive, but if you can't put it on the green from 100 yards in, what good is that? So I think the thing that's really jumped out with me, Mahomes, and, you know, one play that just kind of jumped out at me against Atlanta, and it's preseason, it doesn't count, but they do matter. The throw that he made on 3rd and 11 to Kelsey, the anticipation he had on that throw, that's what really got me kind of sitting up in my chair saying, ooh, okay. Not the 68-yard bomb that he threw behind coverage. That, you know, that's backyard football, and look, quarterbacks love to do that. But the anticipation on that throw, the ball was out before Kelce had even come out of his break. I don't know if you guys know the player I'm talking about. But and it was against Desmond Trufant. Trufant's a darn good corner. And I just thought that throw right there, that's what wins you football games. On third and 11, when you can convert something like that against a very good corner and a very good defense, you can make that throw before he's even turned around. That's how you win football games. And you pair that with Andy Reid. Look, Andy Reid, he knows how to score points. I remember when he was in Philly, we would go down and play the Eagles, and you'd look up at the end of the first quarter, and you're down 21-7, and you don't even realize how the heck did that happen. Andy Reid is—he's a mad scientist when it comes to scheming up plays, and you know, I feel like every year by week six, everybody's saying, "What's Kansas City doing?" You know, it used to be, "Hey, what's Philly doing on offense? Let's go." Everybody tries to copy Andy's offensive plays, and. Last year was a perfect example of it. We saw him up in week one against the Patriots doing exactly that.
Why doesn't it work in the postseason then for him?
Well, I mean, I'm sure you guys are going to hate me for saying this. Well, if you run the ball, maybe you guys wouldn't been kicked out of the playoffs.
We don't disagree with that, no, Sean.
I'm fully on board, yes.
You know, I think what really kind of stuck out for me last year, and you know, obviously the red zone wasn't as efficient as they'd like to be, but I think when it comes time down the stretch and in the postseason, you've got to be able to close out games, and you've got to be able to run that 4-minute offense and not put your defense back out on the field. And I think, you know, look, everybody says why doesn't it work in the playoffs? Well, you know, look, when you get to the playoffs, I think you can win games by scheme during the regular season, and you can devise plays that, you know, maybe surprise people. By the time you get to the playoffs, it's not about a new play. I mean, okay, the Philly special kind of took the world by storm last year, but the Eagles didn't win the game because of that one play. They won the game because they won their matchups. They manhandled, the Patriots up front. And I think that's really kind of what it comes down to. So, you go out and you get a guy like Sammy Watkins and you pair him with Tyreek Hill and Kelce. Now, you've got a lot of options to win those one-on-one matchups. That's really what it comes down to in the playoffs.
Andy Reid is so good, though, at that, you know, scheming and preparing the week-to-week and those types of things. So how do you change that? Like, how would you change, if that's your best asset, your ability to scheme for other teams, how can you change that to have a playoff mentality where it's, we just had to go out and beat somebody?
Well, I think part of it is just, you know, I used to always tease my old line coach, and I'd say, hey, look, you know, we just ran for 200 yards the week before, and we did it on a certain play. And the next week, that play's not in the game plan. And I'd say, how is that run play not in our game plan for this week? Well, you know, we think that the defense is going to be ready for that play because we were so successful with it last week. I said, no, we need to keep running this play until somebody stops it. So coaches can kind of outthink themselves and say, hey, look, you know what, we're not going to run our bread and butter because that's what we've been running all season long, and, you know, we think they'll be ready for it. And I've always felt like as a player, guess what, you got to prove that you can stop it and prove to us that you got a way to put out that fire. Otherwise, let's do what we do best. Let's not outsmart ourselves. I think the other aspect is, you know, look, playoff football is hard because the other teams are good. And sometimes in the NFL, you can start winning games in December and thinking that you're really good, and you're playing teams that aren't playing, they're not playing in January. So that those games get a little bit tighter. I always like teams that are kind of battle-tested in November and December as they roll into the playoffs, as opposed to, I know everybody fights for, in December we're always talking about, hey, everybody wants that first round bye, everybody wants that bye week, and it doesn't always guarantee that you're going to be in the big dance.
Talk with Sean O'Hara of NFL Network here on 610 Sports Radio, former NFL vet. And when you were at the Giants, you were kind of the union leader guy. What do you think of this new helmet rule that's going on that everybody's talking about in the NFL?
It's tough. You know, the NFL, is anytime they try to bring new change in anything, it takes time. And I think as players, certainly when you change a rule like that, it makes it hard on the defenders. And every couple of years, there's something that comes out that, you know, look, we all bristle at. We say, man, this is really going to be tough. I think what's, you know, the rule and the spirit of the rule, I think, is a good thing for football. I think it's a good thing to try to eliminate some of these major hits that are really, you know, injuring guys. And, you know, when, listen, to be completely honest, when I was in high school and college, I used to pop in the NFL Rocks VHS.
Mm-hmm.
And I don't know if you guys remember that.
Oh,
NFL
God, yes.
Rocks was like a highlight reel of just big hits.
Yep.
I think Chuck Cecil was like the starring role. You know, he was banned from the NFL. And, you know, I used to watch that because, that, man, that was like, that was cool and that was exciting. I never really thought about, man, are these guys, you know, what's that effect on these guys down the road? And so now, we're learning. You know, we know more now than ever. So I think the game, it's not a safe game, but we can take some of these dangerous hits out of the game. And I think that's what they're trying to do. Now, how do we apply that rule? The tough thing is, to me, these teams don't practice live anymore in training camp. When I played, we practiced twice a day in full pads, and early on we would have at least two or three live periods in the full pad of practices. So you would get that opportunity. Defenders would have a chance to come up and form tackle and do it live on a moving subject, and you know have to really focus on their aiming point and not miss tackles. The only time that these teams are going live are the preseason games. So when you think about it as a defender, if you've now all of a sudden got to think about where I'm placing my head, and I've got to get my head out of it. I got to make sure I don't dip my head. And you really have only had two times because you've had two preseason games. That's what makes it hard, and I think that's why it's going to be a big adjustment. But I think they have to do this, and it has to be a shock factor to get everybody locked in, to get the coaches locked in, everybody coaching it differently so that it's not affecting the game. But I think when week one comes around, I don't know if we'll see as many calls for a couple of reasons, but I think number one, because I think guys will be better at it. They'll have had that full speed chance to try to adapt to it.
Sean, before we let you go, am I underestimating when I say Pat Mahomes will win two Super Bowls for the Chiefs, or should I be shooting higher?
I say aim high. You know, why only two? You know, I think the higher you go, you know, look, if you, you shoot for the moon, and if you miss, you hit the stars. I think that's kind of one of the sayings, but I think when you look at the way that he's built, man, everybody compares him to Brett Favre from an arm standpoint. I mean, if he can play as long as Brett Favre, I think he's got a shot to win a couple more.
There you go. Love it, man. Love it, love it, love it. Thanks so much for coming on this morning.
All right. Thanks, guys.
Sean O'Hara, NFL Network, former NFL offensive lineman. Shoot for three. Just give me one. That's fine.
I like
That's
the fine. Fact just that he, me. Hey, man, if he can be Brett Favre, he can do better than just two. I like it.
Just get me one.
How are you not fired up after hearing that, man? Everybody's buying into our guy. I love it.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.
Protect your vehicle's engine with a full synthetic oil change and save with Mobil 1 at O'Reilly Auto Parts. Purchase 5 quarts of Mobil 1 full synthetic motor oil and receive a $10 O'Reilly gift card after rebate. See store for details. With your Mobil 1 purchase, you'll also receive 2x points during Old Rewards Bonus Points Month at O'Reilly Auto Parts.
Oh, 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 O'Reilly.